Welcome to Shooting the Sports Ish. We are back. It is fantasy football season. I am Tom. I am so excited to be joined alongside the Ish alum, Teddy. Teddy, how are you getting into this football season? Ready to go? How you feeling? What's new, man?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. Yeah, as you said, kind of going back to my roots here with Shooting the Sports Ish and help me butterfly into lead writer over at Ball Blast Football and lead editor over at Fantasy and Frames. So it's nice to come back. And I know breaking the fourth wall, it was very nice that you caught that you didn't hit the record button there before we did a whole episode like last season. So
listen, so look at that. What had happened grew. One we time? Grew.
People don't forget, Tom. People don't forget.
Oh, I know. After the intro, we're going to hit you with all the fantasy sleeper stars and who Teddy thinks that you absolutely should not pick, even gun to your head. We'll see you in a second. Teddy, going into football this year, it feels a lot more, I guess the normality feels a lot better than it did last year, especially heading into fantasy season, where I think there's a lot of question marks last season without full camps, without, you know, really seeing people in front of fans and how that would affect playing.
Sure.
Then again, it's 2021. It's the NFL. We're going to go, we're probably going to go full stadiums all season everywhere in America. So, hey, here we are, right?
Hey, man, money talks.
That's right. But back into that sense, though, so that home field advantage, I feel, is going to make a lot of difference between this and last year, especially early on in the season. I know a lot of people out there, they look at the teams and they kind of think, all right, I need to solidify my top running back this year for my fantasy football team. In my opinion, Teddy, a lot of depth this year at running back from top to bottom. I think there's a lot of spots we can grab a lot of guys for either value in late rounds or if you have your heart set on a top five back, who are you going with? Teddy, I'll ask you off the get. I mean, consensus number one across the world is going to be Christian McCaffrey in any fantasy football draft. That said, who do you like second?
That's a great question, man. So what are you coming like if you're looking at everything? Obviously, it kind of is going to depend on PPR or standard. I think a lot of people, regardless, are going with Dalvin Cook, obviously for the Minnesota Vikings, mainly because my number two would be Alvin Kamara just from what we saw last year, obviously with the pass catching abilities and obviously his high ceiling of being able to pop off a 6-touchdown game at any one time is very nice. But I think people are a little hesitant with Kamara because of the quarterback situation, obviously, between Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. And so not really knowing where that's going to go and not being able to kind of determine a clear favorite, especially coming out of the first preseason week where they basically had identical snaps, you know. So I still personally prefer Alvin Kamara, especially in PPR leagues. But If it's standard, or I guess you could easily make the case, depending on how the quarterback situation shapes out.
Sure.
Dalvin Cook seems to be like the number two guy.
I look at the Kamara situation as this and the quarterback situation in New Orleans, and I'm looking at Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill in a quarterback battle. Do I really have a quarterback to start with if those are the two in the battle for the starting job there? I think it's kind of a wait and see in New Orleans. I mean, in my humble opinion, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be there next year, and there's buying time to get there. But that's it's another theory of mine.
I like it. Yeah.
To your point though, I like Cook for just the amount of carries he will consistently get you. Obviously, the PPR portion you mentioned. Another name we can talk about, I guess, would be Derrick Henry for you.
Yep.
Do you feel Derrick Henry is going to put up the same kind of yards he did previously? Do you think that some of the passing game takes away some of those yards this year? Where are you at on Derrick Henry?
Yes, I mean, obviously Derrick Henry is pretty much a beast, but do I think he's going to have another 2,000-yard rushing season? I guess technically maybe with the extra game, you know, but as far as like, you know.
A lot of skewed records coming, right?
Right, yes. I mean, I don't know that he's going to produce as much just because for me, I know that we kind of talked about this pre-show, but when it comes to Julio Jones being in town now, whether he's toward the end of his career or anything, that's still a major upgrade from Corey Davis, you know? And so I think that Tannehill is going to be airing the ball out a little more and going to be kind of getting trying to spread his wide receivers around just because he has more talent around him, you know. And obviously we've seen Derrick Henry in the pass catching game. So when it comes to purely rushing standpoint, I don't think he's going to hit that mark or whatever a 16 game version of that mark would be sure. again. But with the 17th, maybe. But that kind of feels like cheating. So
looking at the top 10 backs going into this fantasy season, who could you see having the highest potential of being a bust?
That's a great question. So for kind of the list I'm looking at, obviously going to Fantasy Pros for their consensus ADP. I just have it on standard scoring, even though I feel like half point is kind of obviously in the middle there. But we're talking McCaffrey, Cook, Henry, Kamara, Nick Chubb, Elliott, Barkley, Taylor, and Jones, and Najee Harris. So if we're looking at the top 10, the two that I am the most down on are going to be Jonathan Taylor and Najee Harris. Najee mainly because there's so much hype around him. He is a rookie, and this offensive line is some booty cheeks in the sense that we look at, like, just in their two preseason games, you know, it doesn't help the Steelers that they have to play an extra one compared to everybody else, right? But their offensive line is terrible, and it's just I'm worried about how much – I think he's going to be involved in the offense. That's not a question, right? He's going to be a bell cow running back. They're expecting to kind of involve him as much as they did Lev Bell in his heyday, right? So I think he's going to get the opportunity. And I think he has the talent. It's just whether or not he has this surrounding cast that's going to be able to open it up. And I feel like if the Steelers get down early, we saw last year they are quick to abandon the run game, right? Because Big Ben was popping like 60 pass attempts a game, and they were like 11-0, right? And so they didn't even need to half the time. But Jonathan Taylor is the other one for me that I've kind of been all season, especially in my rankings on Fantasy Pros. I'm like 11, you know, positions down on him than compared to everybody else. Like and it was before the Carson Wentz injury even happened. I for some reason, am just going into this as much as I'm expecting sophomore wide receivers to take a jump. I feel like sophomore running backs are going to come back down to earth a little bit. And so I don't think with the hype that Jonathan Taylor is getting, he's going to return the value that you kind of have to spend on him as far as draft capital goes. So I'm kind of down on Taylor this year. I don't think he'll crack that top 10.
Yeah. My concern level with him at this point with Wentz since the injury is, are they going to put too much of a workload on him early? And is it going to get any wear and tear on him? So again, by week 8, you don't have 100% Jonathan Taylor. And it's like, oh, okay, now we're in trouble, right? Like where do we go from here? Especially if you're an owner, because at that point, it's like, okay, I have nowhere to fill, but he's producing as a second-rate back at this point.
For sure. And we've seen that his backup, Nyheim Hines, especially in PPR formats, is extremely viable.
Absolutely.
And can handle a lot of the, you know, early down back, third down receiving work, you know, kind of slot in where they need him to. So I think it might be a little more split than some people are wanting it to be, especially if Wentz isn't able to go and we have to suffer through a Jacob Eason or Sam Ehlinger start.
I'm going to hit you with a name just outside the top 10 that this is my, I think, has bust potential for a high rank back would be Joe Mixon. I just think with that Cincinnati team, I think they're going to move in different directions. He was there with the old regime, the old quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Burrow's in now. I think they're going to move to more of his style. I just don't see the value there as high as he's been going or ranked in some of these. Am I wrong to think that, or is there a legit concern there?
So I think there is legit concern there. I was able to go to the Fantasy Football Expo this weekend, and there was an event called Draft Night Out where there were like six big groups that were doing drafts at the same time. And in our Superflex League, Joe Mixon was went in like the fourth round or something, like, and we like booed him when he got taken because none of us are really high on Joe Mixon. The thing that worries about me is, like, I think he's talented and I think that he will do well with the carries he's given, but I don't think he's going to be getting 20 carries a game because with the receivers and everybody they've kind of put around Burrow, I agree. You know, even though he made a fine work of handing the ball off to Clyde Edwards-Helaire that last year at LSU, I think that Joe Mixon is going to be involved, but at the same time, I think they're going to be very pass heavy because we've seen what Burrow can do. He's got the arm, provided that he's fully healthy, right? Okay. We're kind of seeing mixed reports coming out of training camp with he's going to be ready week one, and then other people are saying like he's still a little skittish on putting full weight and mobility on that back leg. So we'll see, but I think you're kind of right on the money that Mixon is someone that I don't think is going to return or going to finish as high as he's being taken right now.
Yeah, and to your point too, I'm Burrow, it kind of sounds like an obvious statement, I'll say, but you see a lot of dumber decisions made in the NFL. If Joe is not 100%, do not put him near that football field, because the last thing that organization can do is risk him being injured again in the same area because they rushed him back.
Right.
To do what this year? You're not going to the playoffs.
Exactly.
I mean,
oh, no chance. The AFC North is stupid strong this year with the Steelers, Browns, and Ravens. So, no, you build for the future.
Absolutely. So, I mean, would it even – I mean, I know that they want him on the field from an organizational standpoint, right? I'd take my time a lot more than anything. Mm-hmm. Give me a running back who some people out there in viewer land will be able to maybe pick up in the sixth round or later that may do wonders for their team.
If anybody follows me in any of the stuff I'm doing, you're going to know I'm saying J.D. McKissic here. I am a huge J.D. McKissic truther that you can get super late in drafts. You honestly, sixth round is probably way too early to even be looking at J.D. McKissic. You can get him even later than that. But if you take away 40 receptions from J.D. McKissic, he still has like the sixth most receptions for a running back last year, right? So because everyone's talking about, you know, well, Ryan Fitzpatrick is now in Washington. They've brought in Curtis Samuel, who's going to have that weird kind of elusive back between running back and wide receiver. And so Antonio Gibson's expected to take a next step and everything. So it's like I can see why people are down on McKissic. But again, for me, for kind of my money and where he's going in drafts, you're looking at a guy that he's going to be a backup. But I don't think, especially in PPR leagues, I don't think there's any problem flexing him every week, you know, just because I think he's going to be involved in the offense. And like I said, you take away 40 receptions and he's still going to be, like I said, top six. So I love J.D. McKissic. Another one that people are kind of sleeping on to me for me is Michael Carter for the New York Jets. Obviously a fellow rookie. It's just mainly because there is sure a committee there with, but it's kind of like the island of misfit toys with kind of Tevin Coleman, who's never really been able to lock down a starter position, LaMichael Pirine, who hasn't ever really got it going, Ty Johnson, same kind of thing. So right. I'm not super worried about the competition. Cream, in my opinion, is going to rise to the top in New York. And with kind of that rookie, and barring that he looks like a 12-year-old skittish quarterback and Zach Wilson out of BYU, I think they're going to be dumping down a lot. And so I really like Michael Carter with the work he can do in both the passing – receiving game and the on the ground.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, I see where you're coming from on that one. If we bump over to wide receivers, I know depending on where everyone's looking and we're going on Fantasy Pros right now, but you may see some different 1 through 5s, right?
Right.
For the most part, the 1 through 6, I would say, in any random order, is DK Metcalf, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, and Davante Adams. Of those six, value for value, who do you like here?
I mean, it's Davante Adams, right? You know, like if you see,
Davante's going to cost you what
he's going to cost right now, you the most.
Pick?
That's true. He is. He's going to be probably one of the top wide receiver taken.
Yes.
If you're looking at some of the other ones, I'll say okay. We'll put it this way: from that list, there's only one wide receiver that worries me. And that is DK Metcalf. So kind of going the opposite direction, because all those guys that we were mentioning, you're going to have to take in the first two rounds, you know, just once wide receivers start coming off the board and people are coming back around in that second round return, like they're going to be gone. So these are guys that you're going to be getting in the early second to late second, maybe early third if you're lucky. But DK Metcalf is the only one that worries me from where that they're going to be taken, mainly just because Russell Wilson has shown that he is very streaky. And because I remember, you know, from our podcast last year that we were talking about Russell Wilson, oh, he's clear favorite MVP. He's eyeing records, and he just got off to a crazy start. And he disappeared, right? And then he fell off. Yep. So, I mean,
to your point too, Teddy, to your exact point on this, my concern with DK Metcalf, and I own him in almost all of my leagues, and I like having him on my fantasy teams, right? My concern isn't always Wilson, too. It's if Wilson gets hot to Tyler Lockett, he will throw their all game. DK won't even get a ball looked his way. That is my bigger concern with him. And it's not to say that the other top receivers don't have a counterpart, but it just seems that, to your point, when Wilson goes through these streaky periods, Tyler Lockett becomes much more involved, which hurts DK's value immensely.
But, I mean, even like you said, you know, when we're talking about counterpoints or counterparts, Davante Adams doesn't have anybody. I know that apparently Aaron Rodgers wanted Randall Cobb back. I'm not buying that. Tyreek Hill's biggest competition is Travis Kelce because Mecole Hardman sucks. Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley is a PPR god, but other than that, he's fine. DeAndre Hopkins, there's nobody else in Arizona because I'm not worried about A.J. Green. Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones is gone. You know, so if we are looking at guys that directly from the wide receiver position have competition, it's DK Metcalf. As you mentioned with Tyler Lockett, there were two games last year where he had like four touchdowns. So, I mean, it's just like I completely agree with you that Russell Wilson has laser focus on whoever's hot. And if it's Tyler Lockett early, DK is going to bust.
It's a concern. It's a concern. Let me give you a question mark player who put up a lot of points late last season, okay?
Sure.
Terry McLaurin. Washington Redskins, Washington football team.
All right. All right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Where do we see him at here? Do we see a lot of the things we saw more towards the end of last season, or more of a mellowing in between, like, okay, let it calm down a little bit, but it'll still fit in to be a good player, but probably not a top 10, 12 wide receiver?
He's tough because, like, in standard leagues on Fantasy Pros, he's being taken as the wide receiver 11, overall 36, so roughly in that round 3 to 4 range. Mm-hmm. I'm personally high on Terry McLaurin because I do think if he's able to do what he did last year with not a good supporting cast and his quarterback was a, you know, round robin of Alex Smith plus whoever the backup was in that particular week, you know, from the talent perspective, you can kind of expect him to do better because I am high on Ryan Fitzpatrick. But – it could easily be that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a dud and we're seeing Taylor Heineke, you know, out there. So, but I think with the moves that they've made, especially with the leap that they're hoping Antonio Gibson makes, JD McKissick, as we talked about, bringing in Curtis Samuel that Ron Rivera is familiar with, I think that actually takes pressure off of Terry McLaurin because there's now other wide receiver threats that, you know, that they could, that the defense is going to have to take account of, right? And to kind of take into account. Especially Dyami Brown, the rookie wide receiver out of North Carolina. So it's, I think that for me, I'm expecting him to do well. I think that with where he's being drafted right now, his wide receiver 11 might be slightly high from where he finishes. I think I have him finishing as a high end wide receiver 2. So not too far off, but you know, I don't think that he's going to, I'm not expecting him to bust as much as, you know, a giant drop off. I think he's being drafted about where he's going to end up.
Okay. Do you think Amari Cooper can have a bounce back year?
I think so, just because I think Dak Prescott can have a bounce back year. The only concern with Dak Prescott, the only concern, and this is actually more of a concern for Dak, not necessarily Amari Cooper, because he should be fine. It's just that Dak isn't the most touchdown-heavy quarterback as far as passing, in the sense that I think his, like, career best was, like, 34, maybe, like, 29, 28 is kind of, like, his average. So, solid, you know, numbers, obviously. But when we have guys like Patrick Mahomes putting up 50 in seasons, you know, it doesn't really help. But for Amari Cooper, yeah, you know, honestly, if Dak's healthy, I kind of fully expect the entirety of the Cowboys offense to kind of bounce back, which is kind of insane with how good CeeDee Lamb did last year. He's one of those sophomore receivers that everyone's kind of expecting to go to another level, which I don't even know was possible with kind of how hot he was. But honestly, sure. I do think that, you know, Lamb is, I think, being drafted above Amari Cooper now, especially in standard. It looks like it's about a five spots difference there. So Lamb is still, I think, the wide receiver you want in Dallas. Amari Cooper is a great kind of runner-up prize. And then Michael Gallup is just going to be a guy that you flex, but kind of linking in them. Just one thing that I'm always kind of making sure to talk about when it comes to fantasy football and these kind of like lineup decisions. I don't know if you've taken a look, but we have got some bye week nightmares this year. Week 7 is absolutely brutal in the Bills, Cowboys, Jags, Chargers, Vikings, and Steelers. So if you somehow have Deontay Johnson, Justin Jefferson, and Michael Gallup, you're out your top three wide receivers in week seven. And obviously you're not going to draft your entire, you know, team off of 1 week, but like, that's definitely something you got to look at.
I've accepted in my Dynasty Keeper League the fact that, okay, I might not have players for one of these bye weeks at this point already, but I'm not willing to give up the rest of my team. I'll take one or two losses if necessary throughout the season just to have the team together. One question for you, more of a joke. The Detroit Lions wide receiver fantasy football, where do you think, without looking, their first wide receivers ranked?
So
overall.
I'm pretty sure we talked about this on another podcast, but because mainly reason being is because I'm actually pretty high on Breshad Perriman this year, comparatively to where he's being drafted, because somebody's got to catch passes. But I would probably say I think they were disrespectful as shit. I think it was like wide receiver like 60 or something. Like it was
Detroit Lions do not have a top 75 wide receiver. God.
Lord, is it better in PPR? Hold on. Because it's that is absolutely brutal.
Yeah, coming in at 76 would be let me pull it back up here. It was the young kid for them.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
St. Brown, yeah.
If it helps in PPR, he gets bumped up to 66.
Oh no, it doesn't. That's really scary.
Yeah. That's sorry. It might be another rough year for you there, Tom. But you were expecting it. Once Stafford left, he got Jared Goff in return.
Four down the field, baby. Speaking of moving the ball downfield, let's go on to quarterbacks. As everyone expected, you have Patrick Mahomes as the first QB off the board by a very large margin. Following that up with Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, which kind of surprised me a little bit. Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, and then Tom Brady. Bust potential, let's start there, of those top 10.
I actually had – I did an article for Ball Blast where I did the top three quarterbacks that may bust in the top – I think it was 14. But one of them that I'm actually a little worried about is Justin Herbert, mainly because – from what we saw last year, small sample size in the sense that the only reason he's starting presumably is because a team trainer stabbed Tyrod Taylor, you know, in the lung. But it's if you're kind of looking at I'm really big on supporting cast, obviously, because you want to see what he's working with. Austin Eckler is expected to be enormous this year in fantasy football. So you've got him. Keenan Allen's always good. Mike Williams is very inconsistent. Hunter Henry is gone. And they have Jared Cook now, who's inconsistent. So I'm just I think the Chargers team as a whole on paper is actually better, including their defense. And so I don't know that they're going to be in as many situations where Justin Herbert is going to have to drive 80 yards for, you know, in the fourth quarter, airing the ball out every pass, you know, so or every snap. So I personally am a little nervous about Justin Herbert, especially with him being taken currently QB7 above Aaron Rodgers. I 10 out of 10 would prefer Aaron Rodgers. And another guy I'm kind of drafting over Justin Herbert is actually Ryan Tannehill, who we talked about. And I am actually kind of in between on whether or not I'd rather have Matthew Stafford or Justin Herbert in redraft this year.
How do you think Mr. Matthew Stafford does with his new team over there in the Rams?
I'm sorry to say for you, but I think he's going to put on a show. I think I would have felt a little more comfortable about it before Cam Akers' season-ending injury, and so they are kind of looking to ride Daryl Henderson as their running back. But I mean,
Stafford's so used to never having a running back anyway; it shouldn't make a difference.
Fair. Yeah, but I think with Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee for the tight end, and their defense, it's probably the best defense he's ever played with. So,
Cooper Kupp for those that are listening, I think is going to turn into the Golden Tate role when Golden Tate was in Detroit, where he becomes Stafford's second option on almost every play, and it just catches balls 5-6 yards down the field over and over and over again.
So the crazy thing
was used here.
The crazy thing that's not completely out of the question is that Cooper Kupp could be Golden Tate at his prime, and Robert Woods could turn into Calvin Johnson at his prime. Not as insane as Megatron, obviously, but just more of a usage role. I think the offense can support both, and that's kind of terrifying. And so I don't think that we're in a territory like last year where you have to pick which one and hope for the best. I think you can play either one and feel pretty solid.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that point, especially watching Stafford and seeing that it's not beyond him to throw the ball 45 times a game.
Right.
Let me hit you with this.
Yeah.
In what percentage of leagues will Deshaun Watson be drafted in?
Honestly, I this is going to sound terrible, and I don't mean it to. I don't blame people right now for drafting him just because nothing has been said. And at this point, we're all just assuming like, oh, there's no way he's going to play. There's no way he's going to play, right?
Right.
And that's
right,
all
right,
we're
right.
saying. And like, and every day it's like something else comes out about him with more allegations, and then he fires off at the media and like he's not practicing and he wants out of, you know, Houston and everything. But like, until he's on a commissioner's exempt list, like a late round pick isn't bad on Deshaun Watson. So, I mean, I think that he honestly probably should be drafted in most leagues as your final pick. You know, just worst case scenario, you drop him week one when he goes on the exempt list and he's out for 6 weeks or whatever. You know, so, I mean, it's from a human standpoint, he's the worst. From fantasy football, like at this point, he's basically just saying he wants out of Houston and nothing has happened as far as not being able to play. It sounds like Houston's kind of hoping he does play, or they're trying to potentially move him somewhere. But at this point, until he gets told like he's not allowed to play, he probably should be drafted just in case with a final pick. Like, I'd rather have Deshaun Watson and like, again, shitty human. But for fantasy football, like if he plays, he's going to ball because he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, unfortunately. And so like until he's on that list, I'd rather him than like, I don't know, some random wide receiver 4 or 5 for a team. So he probably is going to be drafted in more than people expect. I mean, even now he's quarterback 18 on Fantasy Pros ADP.
That was kind of where it all came from.
So he's being drafted ahead of guys like Justin Fields, Ben Roethlisberger, and Trey Lance and Tua. So, I mean, at this point, why not?
Do you feel there's any disrespect for Jared Goff being ranked 30th?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's because the thing is we've seen it from Goff before that he can be a quarterback. He was in the Super Bowl like 3 years ago, right? And so, like, we've seen that he can produce. It's just everyone, I think, is just terrified of the people he's playing with. I think Jared Goff is getting the brunt of, obviously, the blows and everything, whereas DeAndre Swift is getting risen because they're all expecting him to carry the ball 30 times a game. You know, and Hockenson is still kind of expected to be good. He's, in my mind, Jared Goff is entering that Kirk Cousins territory where Kirk Cousins is obviously being drafted as QB17, but no one's ever really talking about the fact that last year, or in kind of even going into this year, the Vikings offense is expected to have a top 3 running back, like 2 top 12 or top 15 wide receivers, but their quarterback is quarterback 17, you know? So it's kind of insane, but I do think Jared Goff is being disrespected. I'm probably not going to draft him if I don't have to, but he has been a target of mine on to ride the pine in Superflex leagues.
You know, speaking of tight ends, we can just move there right now, okay?
Sure.
You mentioned TJ Hockenson in Detroit, right? And you mentioned he's about the only weapon for Jared Goff on the Lions' entire football team.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel the value for him is too low or too high, right around tight end 5-6?
I honestly think that his value is one position too low. Mainly that stems from the fact that Kyle Pitts is being drafted tight end 4 is ridiculous. Okay. Fantasy football community, you should be ashamed. you ruined it. Okay. He is officially overhyped. Okay. So
it's all your fault. Yeah,
exactly. Like, yes, he's a generational talent, whatever phrase you want to use. Like, he should be solid. He still has Matt Ryan thrown to him. But I think Hockenson is right at my tight end four or five. And I think that's fine. I think, again, like, I think the involvement is going to be there. I don't think it's crazy to think he's going to be targeted upwards of 8-9 times a game. So especially in PPR, you're loving TJ Hockenson this year. But especially when it comes to, like, tiers, you know, tiers are very popular in the sense that Travis Kelce is kind of on a tier to his own. Kittle and Waller make up tier two, and then tier three is Andrews Hockenson. I think that's perfect, you know, and I did kind of like a little breakdown for Ball Blast in our draft guide that just dropped last week that you can find on our website and on Amazon. There is a Kindle version, and I analyzed kind of like if you don't get one of the top three guys, it is kind of better to punt the position and take just somebody later because it's basically all the same. I say that, but if Andrews and Hockenson are there, they're currently being taken at pick 54, 58. So we're looking, you know, roughly sixth round-ish.
End of four.
Yeah, five. End of four. Yeah. But there's a gigantic drop after Hockenson. It goes then 58 for Hockenson, 96 for Logan Thomas. So if Hockenson falls into that, you know, round seven, round eight range, I'm smashing draft.
Rob Gronkowski in the year of 2021 is the ninth ranked tight end in fantasy football.
Yes, he is, unfortunately.
Ready? Is Rob worth a top 15 tight end look this year?
Oh, God. Unfortunately, he is. I hate saying that. It makes me so sad. Because, like, at some point, it's the same kind of thing with Brady, right? Brady's being drafted as quarterback eight. Like, at some time, the train's going to run out. But if you're looking at last year, he finishes the tight end eight, you know, in half PPR scoring. So, I mean, he's a top 10 tight end. Honestly, like,
and we talked about with the tiers. Later on in the year, too.
Right. And, like, we talked about with the tight end tiers, once you get into that Logan Thomas plus range, I think the difference between tight end like six and tight end 18 last year was like 40 points. So, I mean, it's on a points per game basis and everything, it's not that big of a difference. So for me, yeah, I think, unfortunately, I do think Gronk's going to be a tight end one this year. So he is going to have to be drafted, but someone in your league's probably going to overdraft him off of his name. So just keep that in mind. But if you draft Tom Brady early, it's not a bad stack.
Biggest tight end bust in the top 10 tight ends that are coming out.
So with that, we are looking at Kelce, Kittle, Waller, Pitts, Andrews, Hockenson, Logan Thomas, Dallas Goedert, Gronk, and Fant. Fant's obviously an easy one to go with just because he's right there at 10. And with Bridgewater and Locke and not really knowing who's going to be the quarterback there, but Dallas Goedert probably is going to be mine just because at this point, Zach Ertz is still on the team. And everyone is kind of writing off Zach Ertz for some reason.
He sure is.
And I don't really know why. Obviously, his hairstyle is definitely a question, but Zach Ertz is being drafted as tight end 17 right now. And I don't think that Goddard is going to be a tight end one, especially with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is one of the worst passing quarterbacks in the small sample we got from him last year in the entire league. And they're already kind of talking about how they're unhappy with him because there are rumors that Deshaun Watson might be traded to Philadelphia. You would rather have Deshaun Watson than Jalen Hurts. So I don't think the faith is there as much as they want to put it there. So I don't
sell of them drafting quarterbacks and shipping them out of town to the next shiny object is all great.
It is impressive, yeah. The fact that Nick Foles isn't an Eagle again today is as of this recording is impressive. And I say as of this recording because it would shock no one if they all of a sudden traded for him.
It would also shock me if Nick Foles is the Indianapolis Colt by the end of this week either. So
also true. But yeah, Dallas Goedert and Noah Fant would probably be my big two there for busts.
All right, so we're gonna move on to the defenses here. And one thing that stuck out at me on the defense is how valued the return of a certain linebacker to a certain football team is. Teddy Pittsburgh Steelers defense is the top-ranked defense. do you feel credibility here? Do you feel they deserve to have this mark? Do you not look that much into it?
I think they should be top two. Okay. I think, honestly, for me, it's kind of a wash between the Steelers and the Rams. Okay. You know, and it just – the consensus, yes, has them as the number one, but they often fall, like, top five, which I think is fine. But, yeah, honestly, I really like their Melvin Ingram signing. I think that's huge. They got Joe Schobert for free. They basically just stole Joe Schobert from Jacksonville for a late-round draft pick. So, with Devin Bush returning and everything, yeah, I think their defense is going to be stout. Again, it's just whether or not their offense can maintain pace of play. But if you're, you know, going to reach on a defense and not take them with like one of your last two picks, as a lot of people do, I'm kind of looking Steelers, Rams, and then Bucks football team is kind of my top four there.
That makes total sense. And if you're looking for great value, the 30th ranked defense, the worst in the league, is the Detroit Lions. And I guarantee you they are going to do better than finishing dead last.
There you go. Hot take. Breaking news out of Shooting the Sports Ish. Another Tom original.
I understand that they're going to be in the field for like 38 minutes a game. I get it. But it's like, they can't be that bad, right? You should automatically win more games when Matt Patricia leaves. It's proven science.
Believe it or not, honestly, getting into IDP football, I really love a lot of the Detroit Lions linebackers and defensive linemen, just because they're going to get so many tackles. It's because they're going to be on defense all the time. They are going to have a lot of opportunity.
Oh, we'll finish up with it. Hit me with two rookies. They don't necessarily have to be quarterbacks, but two rookies that will have the most impact this year in fantasy football.
Absolutely. So I think we already talked about Michael Carter, so I won't go with him. Najee Harris is obvious because everyone's just expecting a breakout. Yes. I'm personally very high on Kadarius Toney for the New York Giants. I know they definitely overdrafted him, but I think he fills in very nicely in the slot role they're kind of missing. You know, obviously former Lion Kenny Galladay, not necessarily doesn't make his presence known in the slot as much. Sterling Shepard plays out wide. He's also dealing with concussions. So I think Kadarius Toney will find his way onto the field. And I think he will be kind of a dominant slot force for them. And I love him in Dynasty. But I do kind of like him in the tail end of drafts, and he's going to be a waiver wire guy that I'm kind of expecting at the beginning of the season. I love Elijah Moore for the Jets because I'm just not sold on Jameson Crowder being able to stay healthy, and even if he does, Elijah Moore can do everything for the Jets, so you got that. But the big one's going to be Nico Collins for the Houston Texans in the sense that if they find somebody that can throw a football – and put them under center and can stop hassling women. Nico Collins has value. Brandon Cooks is going to be the wide receiver one there. Wide receiver two spot is completely wide open. Again, they probably are the worst team in the NFL this year, and so we are expecting them to be on defense very little because it's bad, and offense quite a lot. So I think that in games that they're just going to have to air it out, I think that Nico Collins has a good shot at being fantasy relevant as a wide receiver two in Houston.
And for those that don't know too much about Nico Collins, he sat out an entire year at Michigan before he was drafted due to COVID. Nico wasn't used very well at Michigan. He always had the speed, always had the hands, wasn't used great there, took a year off, got bigger, got faster. He's going to be a very impactful player for them no matter what.
Absolutely.
Teddy, is there anything else you'd like to hit on going into this fantasy year? I know we just kind of did the hot takes here, little top 10 hits, but anything else you want to touch on?
Sure. So I know you've dropped your hot takes, so I'll give you mine. The article that I've probably gotten the most, I would say, flack on that I did for both Fantasy Frames and Ball Blast is looking at the three Bengals wide receivers, right, with Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. Sure. Go, if you want to, listeners, check out the article on either website. But I essentially made the case that based on where they're being drafted, that Tyler Boyd is actually going to be the most valuable Bengals wide receiver that you're going to want to roster this year. for a number of reasons, including just that, you know, he is their kind of slot guy. T. Higgins and Chase are going to be kind of taking away opportunities for them, each other on the outside. Everyone, for some reason, just launched T. Higgins again, sophomore receiver, kind of taking that next step. They are expecting T. Higgins to be huge. Kate Majuk, that I work with at Ball Blast, and has T. Higgins as her wide receiver 6 overall. The hype hype has gone a little far on T. Higgins, and obviously Ja'Marr Chase is the first wide receiver taken in the draft this year, and so obviously there's that hype around him, pairing him up with his old teammate Joe Burrow. But for me, just where he's being drafted and the return that he's going to get, how well his game meshes with Joe Burrow's passing game, you know, in the law of averages, I think the Tyler Boyd is going to be the most valuable receiver to roster from the Bengals this year.
Awesome. Let me give you one question and we'll hop out. If I'm looking at the Cleveland Browns and I'm looking at that from a fantasy aspect.
Sure.
Who should scare me and who shouldn't? I'll leave it at that. Because the Browns, to me, I can never figure out who they are. One week they look like something, the next week they look like trash. So,
true.
Who is the least death-defying on that team right now?
So, the least scary is probably going to be Nick Chubb. Just from he's not going to have to play with a potential contract extension looming over his head because they did get that deal done, and so he's going to be good. He does everything, right? They still are a run-heavy team. Baker Mayfield did kind of improve at the tail end last year, helped the Browns get that playoff win over the Steelers. So Baker's still hoping to improve. It seems like their coaching staff is going to kind of give him a little bit more of the reins, I think, of the offense. But I think Chubb, Kareem Hunt, both solid options. The question for me and kind of what you're coming from is, I don't know what we're going to get out of Odell Beckham. Currently, Odell Beckham is one of, I think, the fantasy community's favorite assets because his ADP is so low. You know, with kind of everything with Baker and obviously the injury last year and everything, but if he's able to be the Odell Beckham of old, he's going to be an absolute steal in drafts. Otherwise, like Jarvis Landry, PPR god, but otherwise, eh. And then the only really part of that offense that I am scared of is honestly the tight end, because I don't know if it's Harrison Bryant, I don't know if it's David Njoku, but I think Baker has value late round. I think Chubb and Hunt are good. Odell Beckham has value late round, as does Landry. So that's the only one that scares me. But if that offense gets out slow, but their defense is going to be phenomenal. Their defense is going to be absolutely absurd.
Awesome. Teddy, thank you for joining us again, and come back anytime. We always love having you around. Anything else you want to hit? Any plugs you want one more time you want to pop before we run that scroll across the screen for me?
Absolutely. So, yeah, just like I said, and you can find my content over as the lead writer at Ball Blast Football at Ball Blast FB on Twitter, and then as the lead editor and also writer and at Fantasy and Frames on Twitter, fantasyandframes.com.
Thanks again, Teddy. Until next time on The Ish, we will see you soon.